Seriously, after her performance this year, doesn't Britney Spears deserve more kids?
Hell to the yeah.
So what do you do if you're Britney Spears and you're, you know, you can't have custody of your kids? They seem to be going to KFED all the time. You're no longer allowed to drive them around because you're too unsafe.
Right.
What do you do?
Well,
I mean,
what you do is you take parenting classes seriously and improve your behavior to be able to be a safe parent to be around your children.
Don't
get back into their lives. Be involved in a positive way.
No, you go to China and you adopt twins. That's what you do. According to Britain's News of the World, we saw this, of course, on TMZ.com. Britain's News of the World is reporting that Britney Spears is going to adopt Chinese twins.
Okay.
Does she have no screening?
According to the paper, she is telling friends that, quote, she's in the final stages of talks with an adoption agency in China.
Wow.
They, if, like Lisa suggests, if they have any kind of screening process, they will look at what's going on with their current children and they will say no. They will say the kids are better off in the adoption house than they would be in Britney's house.
Is it called the adoption house?
Whatever it is, the orphanage, whatever they call it. I don't know. But we do have them on the line in China. I think we are going to be speaking with the people who are running
house?
The adoption agency. Yes, in China. Good morning. Kevin Amin Show in America here. Hello.
Hello. Adoption house in China.
We were calling to speak with somebody who might know something about the children Britney Spears is trying to adopt.
We know all about it. It's us.
Wait
you guys
a
are
minute.
The, you're what? The twins?
Wow, what are the chances?
Astronomical.
How old are you guys?
We're 1 year old.
You're one and you already talked together?
Yes.
Wow, that's...
It's a twin thing. You wouldn't understand.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
And you speak English, which is really impressive.
Yeah. It is.
Now, has Britney Spears been there to handpick you? Have you met her?
Yes, please.
Oh, no, really?
Please, I beg of you.
You don't want to go with her?
No!
Now, there in China, do you even know who Britney Spears is? Is she famous in your country?
Yes, she's famous for being fat whore who drives badly.
That's her.
That's the one. That's the one, yep.
Yeah. We would be better off being raised by pandas.
So you'd rather stay at the adoption house is what you're saying. Yeah, I guess so.
We have more civil rights here in China than we would in her house.
Well, you are likely to live to adulthood in that place than you would in Britney's house. That's for sure.
I'd rather be in Tiananmen Square with a tank driving over me than live with her white trash whore face.
Now, do you have any say in it, or does the adoption house just make the ruling?
Adoption house pretty much.
Oh, no.
I see.
Is that
okay.
Not fair?
Well, no, I wouldn't think so.
We say no. We don't want to live Britney Spears. We want to live with Xena.
With who?
Xena.
From the band X?
Xena.
Oh, Christina.
Yeah.
Oh, Christina. I see what you're saying. Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
I got you.
Right, but I don't think you judge your parent by their career.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, all right.
We want to go live with Matt Damon.
I don't think he's adopting.
Why not?
Well, I don't think he's in that process right now.
We want to go live with someone not Britney Spears.
So really, it's just her you're against.
Yeah.
Okay.
And not Carrot Top either.
Okay. Well,
and
you guys are awfully...
Not Copperfield.
No, you know what that is.
Well, you have a lot of information for one-year-olds.
We love TMZ.
In China. Oh, you watch TMZ.
And little baby Fisher-Price internet computer.
Oh, I see. That's
and
fantastic.
And we type it up. TMZ.com. Then we read it.
Right.
Together.
Right.
Because we twins.
You do everything together. Can you talk separately?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Can one of you say something and the other one say something else at the same time?
Hello,
hey,
baby
twins.
Blow me.
Just because it involves naked except for a towel doesn't make it gay. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I think we need to get into Bean's gay date last night.
What did Bean do?
Well, Bean, he was tossing salad last night.
He's in town, and a friend of his called up. A friend of ours, Mark Thompson.
All right, let me tell the story.
Called up
and
said,
then you guys tell me what you think is going on. Because I'm not prepared to discount your theory, by the way.
Oh, really?
You're a little afraid of the date myself.
All right.
So here's the deal, Lisa. I'm in town. This is Bean speaking. Many of you know I don't live in California anymore, but I come back often. Mm-hmm. So I'm in town, and once in a while I try to see people when I'm here. Now, Mark Thompson is one of my oldest and dearest friends. You know Mark from the weather on Channel 11.
Right.
And he does a lot of the Fox specials, the Robbie Knievel jumps, whatnot.
Bean sees him about once a year. That's about it. That's
he's
the
really
oldest.
Close friend.
Really super close friends. Yeah.
Maybe two or three times a year we get together. So Mark and I are talking on the phone, and I say, I'm going to be in town. He says, fantastic, let's get together. I said, great, what do you want to do? You want to grab some dinner? What do you want to do? He's like, why don't you come over, and I'll make you some dinner.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, let's stop the story right here to say, we fully admit that there are a lot of heterosexual guys who love to cook.
We've just never met any of them.
Just never met one.
Right.
They exist, we admit that. But for the most part, let's be honest.
But how am I like to cook for other men?
You cook for another guy if it's just two of you and you're going to cook?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you want to show him your house or something. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to show him your pole.
They're calling these days.
Now,
your etchings.
I had the same thought you guys had, which is this is very unusual because what single guy who's like 40, okay, Mark. Mm-hmm.
He's never been married.
Never been married.
Invites a guy over.
And then cooks for him.
And cooks for him. I thought, now that's kind of weird, but I mean.
Just a pillow biter.
I'm thinking Mark is the most heterosexual guy I know.
Ah.
Or is it?
You know.
Or is
it?
Maybe he overstates the case.
You like the Teletubbies, so you're not exactly hanging in the heterosexual field.
I've been married 9 years, and Mark is a guy who has dated women the whole time. I've known him for more than 20 years.
That's what he said about Rock Hudson.
He's always got a beautiful woman on his side.
Oh, Rock Hudson, always at a premiere with a hot-looking starlet. Being on the limo on the way home.
So I'm thinking, well, this strikes me as rather odd that Mark is having me over to the place for dinner. So I talked to him on the phone yesterday, and I'm like, you sure this is what you want to do, right? Because we could just,
go to Roscoe's.
You name it. I'll be there. I'll be at the place.
I'll pay for it.
He's like, no, it's fine. He says, you can't come over till like around 7:30, though.
Can't come over till 7:30? Yeah. That's because he's got to have it clean.
Yeah, plus he's got to get the potpourri ready.
7:30, I think.
He's got to wax the wood floors.
Because usually when I try to get together with someone for dinner, because of the schedule that we keep, I like, 6 o'clock, I'm hoping for dinner. That's what I get together, right?
And dinner really is about a 14-minute proposition
right.
for two dudes.
Right. So 7:30. I said, well, Mark, I said, what about the weather? Because you've got to be on the 10 o'clock newscast. And he says, I'm going into work this afternoon. I'm going to get all my work done this afternoon. I'm thinking, he's clearing his schedule!
I'm leaving my night open.
I'll have my hair and makeup done when you get to the house.
Quote, unquote, preparing the forecast.
Right, sure.
If you know what I'm talking about. So I'm thinking, this is weird. So 7:30, just him and me having dinner.
Did you bring flowers?
When you answered the door, honestly, was this what you heard? Oh.
Hello, Bean. Come in, my love.
He's there just wearing an apron. Nothing else.
And then you watch one of those, like, bib aprons. Turns around, just, like, bare, hairy ass.
Hanging out.
Let's talk to Troy, by the way. Maybe Troy, before I tell you.
I bet Troy has a lot of answers with a name like Troy.
Before I tell you how the date ended.
Troy?
Yeah.
Same thing happened to you?
Yeah, no, just my best friend. He had him come over, and he made, like, chicken pasta, and we went to the ball game or something.
Yeah. Was this music playing in the apartment? Was that playing in the apartment when you were having dinner?
Dude, didn't it seem a little weird, though, to have a single guy invite you over, and he's going to cook?
Actually, he's married. His wife wasn't in town at the time.
I bet she wasn't.
Oh, wow.
That's when they play, you know.
So
check out the chat rooms.
So how did the date end up? Was it all right?
Nah, it was just about ball game, man. We were just watching the game.
It was cool. Wow, you sound a little defensive.
Dude, just a ball game. It was just a ball
game.
Nothing
wrong with two buddies helping each other out if they're a little lonely.
aren't I supposed to be helping somebody out here? Are you both picking on me?
Yes, we are.
All right, here's the honest truth, and I swear to everyone. And by the way, we called Mark a minute ago, left a message at his machine. I was hoping he'd be able to be on because I hate that he's going to hear about this later. So I show up.
You hate to hurt his feelings.
I show up, and it's I'm a couple of minutes early. It's 7:20 when I pull up at Mark's place.
Oh, no, he wasn't dressed.
Answers the door in a towel.
No.
Really?
Yes.
You're kidding me.
Really? Okay. Answers the door in a towel.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Hello, babe.
And it's all I can do to stop from just cracking up because, of course, we had this conversation throughout the day yesterday. We're right. laughing and joking about the gay date. And then I show up and he's in a towel.
That's awesome.
Because he's getting ready for work. So
he's getting ready for something.
He is.
He's getting ready for work, all right.
Yeah. He's getting ready for
work.
Does
he wear the dog collar to work?
No, I don't think so. And as it turns out, he didn't end up cooking. He ended up calling out and having food delivered.
Oh, okay. So the third guy.
Is that a
positive? The third guy comes over.
I thought it was better. I thought that
I
made it better.
I think that does make it a little better.
He called down the street to Louisa's and had them just deliver some food.
And who delivered? Was Ralph Wright? Was there a third now?
Like this was his plant, his buddy who's a plant? Who's nope.
Bean sandwich.
Just the delivery guy. And then, you know, it was a little weird.
Now, how long did he stay in the towel?
He
took the towel off right away, unfortunately.
No, he ran down right away and changed and put on some clothes.
And what did he put on?
Slack.
Tiny little shorts, little Richard Simmons shorts.
No,
a schoolgirl's outfit.
No, he put on he
Catholic
put on the,
schoolgirl
the slacks and a t-shirt, and then of course he was gonna put the rest of the, on his way out the door to go to do the weather.
Zipper
did the
up or
t-shirt
down?
Read, "I'm just here for the BJ."
Less than anything like that.
Say hello to my friend with a little arrow pointing down.
So we sat on the couch together and had our meal watching Who Wants to Be a Celebrity Millionaire for an hour. And then at 9 o'clock, I couldn't get out of there quick enough. I'll tell you what. I was thinking, wow, he's got like a half an hour before he's got to leave for Channel 11.
Let's say good morning.
I got to hit the road.
Hello, Eric.
Hey, Bean. How you doing, Kevin?
Good. Hey, good.
What's up?
Well, you know, I wasn't really thinking much about it yesterday, but now you guys are talking about this gay date, I'm a little worried. I ran into you yesterday in the parking lot. And,
you ran into who?
Bean.
Oh, you ran into Bean yesterday. Okay.
Which parking lot are you talking about?
At the Virgin Megastore.
Virgin Megastore, right.
They're in West Hollywood? Virgin Megastore in West Hollywood, that
in
one?
Burbank there.
Oh, Burbank, okay. Yeah.
And there was a little fire hydrant problem.
Yeah.
And
that wasn't my fire hydrant problem.
That's what they're calling it.
And you made a comment about what I was wearing. You said it's way too hot to be wearing what I was wearing. And,
why don't you take that off?
You look a little warm.
You know, implying that I take some of my clothes off.
Guys,
I'm starting to look a little bit now about you guys.
It was 85 degrees, and Eric was on the fire truck. He's the guy, one of the guys who came to fix this fire hydrant that somebody had run into with his car.
You get turned on by a man in a uniform.
You love the firemen, don't you?
I was just suggesting, what a bad job to be out there in full fire regalia.
You are really super interested in his
shirt off, Fireman Jim.
Yeah.
Let me rub your shoulder.
On the trunk of his car, looked pretty comfortable, his legs crossed, talking on the cell phone. I don't know, who knows what he was talking about.
My wife, thank you, my wife.
Eric,
if I'd have known you were interested, I'd have invited you to come with me to Mark Thompson's house. All right, now here's the thing. First of all, nothing happened that you guys can prove. And second of all. If you run into Mark today, okay, don't make this sound worse than it is, okay? Because, again, he and I have been very close friends for a long time.
Hey, Mark, how's the weather in Gayville?
That's what I'm afraid of. I've got a question for you. Who's the president of China?
Bean finds this so funny.
Who's the president of China?
He's been laughing about this ever since President Hu, which is his name, H-U, actually came to America, which is about a week ago.
I say, who's the president of China? You say, exactly, and then hit the button.
But that's not funny.
Who's the president of China?
Exactly.
There we go. As you know, the president of China, Hu Jintao, was just here in America for a few days last week. He is gone now, but we finally got a chance to catch up with him and find out how his visit to America was. And also some very surprising news about the Chinese army. We want to run by the president, too. Mr. Hu, good morning.
Hurrah, Kevin and Bean.
Well, hello to you. So people refer to you as who?
I am.
Exactly. All right. How did you?
I am who?
You are who? That's your name.
I am.
Right.
So, I am president.
Right.
Right. So
who is president?
Well, you are.
You.
Who?
Now
who
I
gets?
Am.
Who gets your paycheck at the end of the week?
No. What is the Minister of Culture?
Please stop.
Kilowatt.
I'm begging all of you.
I hate you all.
All right, Mr. President. First
Why?
Of all.
Because you're doing.
Why is our defense chairman?
Right. How?
Why?
All right, Mr. President, we're moving on now. How did you enjoy?
How is the chief of military?
Okay.
Also, how?
Tell me about
I am
your.
Who?
Right. Okay, President Hu, we got that, yes.
I am.
Tell me about your visit.
You're
to
the President Hu.
Come on.
I am.
Come on.
Seriously.
Tell me about your visit.
It's a 900-year-old bit. Stupid Who's on First BS. Come on. Come on.
Can we take this again,
please? To other stuff. I hate you both.
Mr. President.
Who?
Yes, that's your name.
That's the President Who.
Can we ask you about your visit to the White House?
Hello?
Yes.
I didn't recall you had this sense of humor and you were at the White House the other day when you were being heckled, sir.
Why?
You were being heckled at the White House.
Who was?
Yes.
Exactly.
Come on. Seriously. Come on.
I don't think we should go on at this point.
Come on.
Come on who?
You wish.
Seek his people.
A lot of people come up to us and they say, Kevin, Bean, why don't you do TV? How come you guys don't move to the big screen?
And we say to them, that's weird. The big screen traditionally means movies.
Ralph, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas.
You're fired up today, I see.
I'm fired up and a little nervous.
Man, really? I've not seen you. Why are you nervous?
Because I may be risking both my professional and personal life here by airing these clips that I have for you today.
You might be risking your life.
The reason you guys don't have them is because I was up all weekend. The person who gave these to me, who has to remain nameless, was a listener. But we have some video, audio clips of a television show that may put this whole reality TV thing into perspective.
Is that right?
Yes. If you're like me, the reality TV thing has just gone too far.
Gone way too far.
Yeah,
way too far. Most importantly, I think because of this fear factor thing, which, as Lisa and I were talking about off the air, just the most heinous thing about this show is the things they make people eat. And as an entertainment critic and historian, I thought I would try to go back and try to find the source of where this all began. And I'm lucky enough, through some research and through a friend of mine, I've able to come across. Imagine if you were like a historian, you're able to go back and find the exact moment that Hitler started the Nazi Party.
Oh,
I mean,
wow,
that would be
yeah.
significant.
Right,
sure.
right.
Or if you found a critical event in Charlie Manson's childhood that set him on his horrific life path.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or if you decided you could go back in time and see the day that Doc decided a career in radio.
Right. Now,
if you can go back and see just the heinous moments. Heinous moments of what happened to make things the way they are currently.
Right.
You travel back in time.
You found that moment for Fear Factor?
Today, I have found...
The day television started to suck.
Okay.
Now, we're getting this tape sample that I have carbon dated, so we're not exactly sure the date that this thing was put together.
Right.
But we're guesstimating it's about 10 years old.
Okay.
You had to carbon date it?
For
10 years ago.
Play along, Lisa.
Okay.
So this is when reality television started to go bad.
Okay.
When the process of making people eat crappy things on television first began.
Okay.
Hello, America. We're live in Santa Barbara, California, where we asked, what's the most outrageous thing you would do on national TV? It's pure insanity. You'll see five fearless athletes challenge the limits of human endurance for the chance at $5,000 cash.
See what that is.
Wait for it.
Hi, and welcome to Pure Insanity. I'm Kevin. And I'm Bean. And today we've got five brave contestants, a panel of 12 judges, and thousands of screaming onlookers here on Santa Barbara's East Beach. As we ask the age-old
and time-honored question,
what's the craziest thing you'd do on television?
For a chance at $5,000.
Wow.
I
have a copy of a television show called Pure Insanity.
How did you get a copy of this?
Which is maybe the worst television show I have ever, ever, ever seen.
Wow, remember when $5,000 was a lot of money, by the way?
How have I never heard of this?
Well, because obviously they're deeply, deeply ashamed of it, Lisa, as well they should be.
Let me tell you what happened. They contacted us. They said, you want to do a TV show? We didn't know what... When was this? 10 years ago?
It had to be.
10 years ago, they contacted Bean and I, and we had never done TV, as you will hear, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And we did this pilot episode, and then they said, if it gets picked up, be ready to film the first episode in Hawaii on such and such a date. So Bean and I put in the dates in our little books.
This was the pilot, right.
The pilot. Exactly. So then, as the date got closer and closer, we said, hey, you know, I don't know, I haven't heard anything. If you know, but the dates, they haven't called us back, so the dates are still in, so we're going to go to... And then finally, it got to be about the week of,
right.
And we called and we said... We haven't heard anything, and they said, oh, they're already in Hawaii shooting. They replaced
with not
us.
You.
They replaced us without even telling us that they were going to replace us. They just went on their merry way without us because we were so awful.
Well, luckily, they replace you with.
I don't remember who it was, but I do remember that Alan Hunter, original MTV VJ, was on this show.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about him.
Oh, no, Ralph, you don't have the whole show, do you?
So my man's Kevin and Bean here. Gave away $5,000 for a guy to drive an ATV through some eggs and some feathers.
We did.
For a guy to jump into a pool full of water, fish, and manure.
We did.
And dig out some clams.
I honestly don't remember that at all.
For a pair of human hot dogs, two guys dressed as hot dogs walking across hot coals.
We did that, yeah.
But more importantly, you know, the guys who bitch about Fear Factor, what do you have to eat?
Yeah.
Here's what Kevin Bean wanted some guy to eat for $5,000.
Welcome back to Pure Insanity.
Paul is about to push back cultural frontiers and the boundaries of breakfast. Yes, Paul has agreed to sit down and eat a big, fluffy mealworm omelet.
Nice.
As we speak, Bean is with the master chef, Alon Lejonter, who is cooking up 100 top-grade, brand-fed jumbo mealworms.
Yeah, that was Alan Hunter, by the way.
Yeah.
Alon Hunter.
Chef?
See, there was like a French name for him because he was a French chef making an omelet.
Wow. Mealworms are such an innocent time now where you see sheep eyes that they have to eat on Fear Factor.
How bad were we?
Stunningly bad. Mind-numbingly bad.
Wow.
Here's Bean with Alon Hunter making the mealworm omelet.
Chef, how do you feel here today? You look good.
Well, I feel very good. The eggs are very fresh, and the mealworms are ready to be at.
All right, we got a little eggs, we got a little cheese, little onions. Here are the babies. These are the bad pups right now. We call these grubs around these parts. Now, for thousands of years in other cultures, people have been eating these, sometimes by choice, sometimes by necessity. We're going to see some eaten right here on the stage today by our friend Paul. And our Pure Insanity experts tell us that they are not only cute and nutritious, but they are perfectly harmless.
Unless, of course, they're cornered.
If they're cornered, then they're dangerous.
Come on, it was a written line, man.
These are the bad pups, by the way. Nice work there, Bean. Working
that's
bad
what we call
pups
them in these parts.
In these parts, they're called grubs.
I haven't thought about this show in 10 years.
I can see why.
Since we drove back from Santa Barbara, I haven't thought about this show.
That wasn't bad enough. They wanted this guy to eat an omelet full of mealworms. Originally, they wanted him to eat cockroaches, but apparently the producers nixed that idea. Here's a clip.
Experts have warned us that an entire bowl of cockroaches would give our buddy Paul here serious gastrointestinal distress.
In other words, he'd throw up?
Exactly. But the worms have met with the approval of your judges and the Pure Insanity Commissioner. And what the heck, they're still pretty gross.
You guys missed your calling.
Are we done?
No.
It's God. Insane! I thought this was gone forever, and I was happy with that.
I have unearthed Pure Insanity. The two guys who mock Fear Factor for giving $50,000 to people who eat worms and bugs had a guy eat a mealworm omelet for $5,000.
Yeah, we did.
You know what I feel like? I feel like one of these war criminals who moved to the U.S. and has been living a quiet, peaceful, law-abiding life for 40 years, and then somebody comes up from his past and says, it was you!
I'm the Simon Wiesenthal of television. That's who I am, TV Nazis.
But we've proven ourselves now to not be making that kind of television for 10 years, so I think we should be allowed to live lives like we want to.
Oh, I don't think so.
Hasn't the statute of limitations expired on the grief we
not
get
on
over
murder.
This show?
Not the way you've killed television.
All right, what's next?
Then this is spectacular. It's you two guys doing play-by-play commentary of this poor schmuck who's eating a plate full of mealworms.
Looks like it might be down to the wire. The clock is running.
You only got 60 seconds here, Paul. You got quite a bit of food left on the plate. Kevin, will he make it?
Oh, I don't have any idea. It's just fun watching.
Well, some things haven't changed.
Was that scripted?
The day television started to suck.
The improv classes beam through him a curve.
No, it
Kevin,
turns...
you think he's going to win? I have no idea. It's just fun watching.
I have no defense.
And it is fun watching, folks. And finally, we have the exciting conclusion of Bean really wrapping everything up for us here.
I believe we may have seen enough. In television land, that's a little something we like to call true commitment. Let's hear it from Pablo.
The day television started to suck.
Where is
Bean's
television
first
land?
TV show. And now he knows what they're calling things in television land. It's called true commitment. A phrase never used outside of television land, as far as I know.
Well, Ralph, you wouldn't know
it's
this.
It's one of those rare television terms.
That's right, Bean.
The only people on TV know.
Ralph wouldn't know about that.
You wouldn't
because
know
he's
this.
Not.
But those of us who hosted Big Time Network TV shows had to go live at a place called television land.
And they gave you a glossary of terms.
Wow.
And finally, the wrap-up, Kevin with his giant puffy hair, his mullet, Bean with his ponytail and flip-flops. Say goodbye to all of us in television land.
Well, I'm Kevin.
And I'm Bean, and that's our show, Pure Insanity. The next stop will be who knows where. Listen to your radio. We'll be out there somewhere.
That's a threat if ever I heard one.
Or not.
The next stop is going to be whoever the next poor sucker host is of this program, because they're obviously not inviting us back.
The day television started to suck.
Now, as everyone knows, that was not successful.
Well, true.
What temper problem? Kevin?
What are you doing here?
Merry Christmas, Bean.
Merry Christmas? How did you get past the electrified fence?
Rubberized bolt cutters.
And the moat?
Swam. Good thing my pleather jacket is waterproof.
Yeah. So what can I do for you?
Well, it sure is cold out here. Can I come in?
No. Anything else?
Well, we've been partners for a long time, Bean, and I know we don't have much in common. In fact, we don't see eye to eye on anything, really. But this year, I wanted to give you a special Christmas present in person.
Wow, that is really nice, Kevin.
Merry Christmas, Bean.
Merry Christmas, Kevin.
Ow! What the f*** was that all about? Well, I'll tell you, Bean, in a song. I'll punch you in the face for Christmas. Because you're not like me. You like things that I don't like. Sometimes we disagree. And so my gut reaction, as crazy as it seems, is to punch you in the face for Christmas and for enjoying the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, hold on a minute. That last line didn't even rhyme.
Okay, never mind.
Merry Christmas, Bean.
Merry Christmas, Kevin.
Oh, I forgot to ask how he got across the minefield.
We'd like to think of ourselves as connoisseurs of porn.
I love the fact that there is porn for whatever turns you on. Whatever your style is, whatever your interest is. If you like the hairy women, there's porn for that. If you like bald guys, there's porn for that. There's pretty much everything. And we got a press release across our desk the other day, Lisa. I don't know if you saw this or not. But there is an independent porn studio in the San Fernando Valley that is going to start making Muslim-themed porn.
Really?
The guy says sexually active men have much better and more positive things to do than hack off heads, blow people up, and generally try to F things up. If Muslim men would just take off dresses and bomb belts, rip the veils and panties off their women, and take a little, I could say that, the world would be a much more peaceful place.
I see. The theory is they're just so repressed.
Yes,
that it's coming out in these socially unacceptable ways.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what
murder
he is
and mayhem.
Suggesting.
So he's doing hardcore Islam, a love story. He's doing spring break in Mecca. He's doing Islam rated triple X, and he is doing Medina ghetto hoochie mama.
It seems like a great idea. I like his theory.
That's what he's doing.
I don't know he'll survive the week, but
The problem is you try to sell porn in some, you know, Muslim communities, it seems like you're asking for it. It seems
it's
not going to be received well. So we asked Lightning to do a little bit of research. He was not able to get this producer on the line for us, but we learned in the process of discovery that guy's not the only guy making porn for this Muslim community. And he has lined up for us producer Abdul Al-Jizwadi, who is the producer with Muhammad's Mamas, is the line of DVDs that he has out in stores. Mr. Al-Jizwadi, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
How you doing, babies? How you doing today, babies?
We're very good, thank you.
We're fine.
Good day, babies. A good day for you, babies.
Now, where are you in the San Fernando Valley as well?
No, my friend, I'm in Baghdad.
Oh, you're in Iraq.
Yes, we've heard the story about the Americans making Islamic porn films. It's like, why should they make all the money?
I see. Okay.
Okay.
Generate our own adult entertainment so the Iraqis can make some money. You know, babies.
See, I would have thought, Abdul, that the Muslim people would be upset about this.
Of course they are, but a buck's a buck, you know?
Okay.
Look, a fella's got to make couscous when he can, you know what I'm saying?
Now, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, sir, but I imagine the joke would be all you have to do is, you know, is show some elbow and you've got some hot stuff for the Muslim community because the women are so covered up in much of the world.
That's funny, babies. Yeah, that's very funny. No, we're going hardcore, babies.
Hardcore.
We want to show Islamic community that sex is a healthy, natural thing, and you can look at some hot porn and really have a good time.
Have you started producing movies yet, or you just...
We've got about 20 different titles already ready for distribution, my babies.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
Like what?
Well, first of all, we've got two big porn stars, first Iraqi porn stars.
Okay.
They'll be starting in all of our products.
Okay, what are their names?
We have Fatima Lynn.
Yes.
Who's a very beautiful Iraqi woman.
Uh-huh.
And her partner, Al Jazeera.
His porn name is Al Jazeera?
Al Jazeera, yes. The two of them make magic babies. They're incredible together.
Okay.
The first one, we put it together, an amazing film, a holiday film, holiday classic, we think.
Mm-hmm.
Ramadan on Ramadan.
Well, that sounds good. I think
very
I might
hot,
watch that.
It's very hot.
Yeah, sounds good.
What is wrong with you?
You're not going to believe how hot it is.
Come on, Abdul.
What do you like for porn, fellas? What can I send for you? What do you like? You like a wall?
Yeah, sure.
How about Islamic licking?
Uh-oh.
How about open wide and say Allah?
But yeah, I have to ask you, Abdul Al-Jazwat. Yes, Abdul Al-Jazwat is on the line with us with the Muhammad's Mama's porn titles. In an era where cartoonists have death threatened for drawing pictures of Allah, can you really put his name in a porn movie? Aren't you concerned about the fallout?
Of Muhammad, right? You go, oh, I'm so angry, I want to kill somebody. You look at one of my films, you look under Fatima's burqa, you look at one of that, and you go, oh, I want to kill somebody. Hey, look at what's happening in my penis.
I see. So they'll be sidetracked.
I forget all about killing somebody.
So you're doing this.
Get a business, you know what I'm saying?
So you're doing this for the good of humanity.
That's right, because guys who are taking care of their guns cannot pick up their guns. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Okay. Right. I got you.
Right. Smoking hot Iraqi bukkake series.
Oh, stop it.
That series is incredible. They're starting off with number one, Splatter the Human Shield.
Oh, God. Yes?
Following up with Cover Her With Your Curds.
Oh.
Wow.
God.
That's such a hot series, my baby.
It sounds like.
Sounds good.
You know what? Just ship all of those over, if you would.
I'll tell you, wait till you see Dropping the Dirty Bomb.
Okay.
I've never seen before. We've got something for everyone over in Iraq. We got the Kurds covered, of course. We'll cover it with your Kurds. We have an upper Shiite hole.
Oh, come on.
And stick it where the Sunni don't shine.
You're covering all your bases there, Abdul.
I think we are. I've got orders coming in right now. I got
to
go.
Okay, well, thanks for talking to us today.
We have had the opportunity through the years of having many, many giant bands in our studios.
And none are the self-proclaimed geniuses that these guys are. Tenacious D.
You don't really have to put so much stank on self-proclaimed.
Yeah, so that's just us that says that?
Right. So we're just supposed to understand. So we're just supposed to say the greatest band on earth, then.
Just play along.
I got you.
Okay, sure. Right. Now, Tenacious D, you guys have been together for a long time, and I know that we had you in a couple times before, and we always said, hey, you got to put your record down. You're like, yeah, we're working on it. We're going to get to it. How did it all finally come together? Did the stars just line up, and you had the right people?
The stars aligned, and...
Lots of cash, though.
A lot of cash? Is that what it took?
We were like, wait a second. It's now or never. Mm-hmm. Why was it now or never, Reg?
Do you guys remember why?
Oh, we were gonna do like a little independent record,
right?
And then at the last second, Cage said, "No, let's party. If we're gonna party, let's party hard,
maybe, right? Just
let's
maybe
put the hammer down and go full on monster record release."
Tell us about Dave Grohl being on. How did he end up on the record? You guys were mutual fans, or what happened?
Yeah, we were mutual fans.
You know what? He kept calling.
We were mutual fans.
Please, call management or something.
How did it go down, Cage? Why did he love us so much?
He was a fan of us.
He saw us. You've seen him in his videos. He's a funny dude.
Yeah, he's funny.
He keeps up on the latest comedy trends.
Sure.
He asked us to
and
be in
me and
video.
Rage were at the friggin' forefront of that movement.
Right.
And then he was like, be in my video. We said, be on our album then, dude. Dude, he said, I'll play one song, and that stretched out to the whole album.
Yeah.
Cool.
And now he's our best friend.
You guys making...
we never see.
Would you guys mind taking some phone calls?
Nope.
No, bring them on.
From the vast
bring
audience that's out there for Tenacious D. Say good morning to April in Irvine. Hello.
Hi. I wanted to find out. I think you guys are just great musicians.
Oh, you have a beautiful voice.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to
April.
Ask you...
yes.
I wanted to ask you, since you guys are so such great musicians...
what was that?
What the hell are you pushing buttons
for? Is that your own composition, April? It's quite beautiful.
She got excited and pressed a cheek against the phone.
Sounds like it. I did.
What's up?
JB, KP, yeah. You guys drive me crazy.
Thank you, babe.
Oh, you're welcome. But I'd like to know, why did you guys decide or what pushed you to combine that kind of music with your humor rather than, I mean, I think you guys are so good that I could totally see you guys coming out with like...
April, very penetrating question. Let me try to answer that for
okay.
you. We went into our rock laboratory. We mixed some song chemicals together. Oh, it was so delicious.
No, baby, we tried to write a serious song, but then I said, what's up with April, man? We got to write something funny.
It's so serious.
I'm trying to be sexy. I can't think of anything sexy to say.
I don't think it's working. All right, thank you, April. We appreciate the call.
Thanks for the try, though. You guys.
Thanks for the saxophone in the background.
Well, we're trying to help you. It wasn't working.
Sure. You did all you could.
How does the D do with the ladies these days? Pretty well?
Well, we haven't actually met any. They don't come to the shows.
Sure, yeah, I believe
we
that.
We heard April a second ago. She was a little wet.
April.
You know?
No, we figured it out that the shows are 95% sausage.
No.
But there's 5% donuts.
All right, what are you guys going to play for us?
We're loud geniuses.
That's correct.
Flapping our gums left and right.
What are you going to
play? We're going to play Wonder Boy, but a special live tender version.
Here you go. On K-Rock.
High above the mucky muck castle made of clouds, there sits Wonder Boy, sitting oh so proudly. Not much to say when you're high above the mucky muck. What is the secret of your power, Wonder Boy? Won't you take me far away from the mucky muck man?
Well, now it's time for me to tell you about young Nasty Man, arch rival and nemesis of Wonder Boy, with powers comparable to Wonder Boy. What powers, you ask?
I don't know.
About the power of flight. Do anything for you? That's levitation, Holmes. How about the power to move you? To be told, a gold chest to be pulled, and blasting forth in three-part harmony. G-g-gow, g-g-g-gow.
Wonder Boy,
what is the secret of your power, Wonder Boy? Won't you take me very far away from the mucky muck man? Well, Wonder Boy and Young Nasty Man joined forces, and they formed a band called Tenacious D. That's right, me, NKG.
That's me.
What? What? Now, Tenacious D. Yeah, what? Come fly with me, fly.
Tenacious D.
That's it. That's the end of the song.
There you go. Tenacious D on K-Rock. You know, when you're doing the talking part there, Jack, and I don't want you to get too excited by this compliment, echoes of your hero Neil Diamond in your voice there.
Oh, man. Thank
Little
you.
Neil going through you right there.
That's a very high compliment.
It is, I know. I
was you must be high to pay me that compliment.
Tenacious D, the album is in stores.
Yeah.
It's called Tenacious D.
That's right.
Now, and this I wish there was a way. This, you folks, you could buy this record just for the big hit single "F Her Gently." Unfortunately, for obvious reasons, we won't be playing that one on K Rock anytime soon.
Well, maybe you could work up a creative edit.
A really creative edit.
They're floating around. It's weird that they don't have it.
It's a very sweet sentiment, though, guys. I just wanted to let you know. I think you're doing the Lord's work with that.
It's not always about ramming at home. Sometimes it's about the tenderness.
Right, that's what you're known for.
The man rule says no talking in a men's room. You do not speak to each other about anything.
But the rules don't apply to the urinal itself. Check it out.
This is a great story. I don't know if you saw this yesterday. It was just announced in New Mexico that they're trying to combat. Every state has the problem with the drunk drivers, and they do everything they can to kind of raise the awareness of don't drink and drive.
Right.
But they've come up with an unusual way to do it that I had not heard anyone do before, and that is talking urinal cakes.
Now, for you girls that don't frequent men's rooms, they have like little, they're like hockey puck size cakes that they put in the urinals, and I think it's for... To make it smell fresh, right? I guess.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, yeah.
And now they're installing talking ones that'll give you a message. In New Mexico, it says, like, for example, you walk up to the urinal and it says, you drink, you drive, you lose.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they have that printed on the top of the hockey puck, and then it also talks to you. And it basically, you know, it's a suggestion for people who are hitting the head, as my dad used to say in the Navy, on their way out of the bar at night. It's basically just a reminder, hey, don't drink and drive. And it's a pilot program. They got 500 of them in bars all over New Mexico, and they're going to wait and see how it goes. They cost $21 each, by the way, to buy these.
Mm-hmm.
And they're made by a company in China, and I love the name of the company, Wismark.
Wismark.
That's awesome.
Wismark. No word on whether they're working on a talking tampon for the ladies, but right now... No, I'm just saying, because...
Yeah, well, don't say...
They drink and drive too, though. So right
now
they're talking.
Well, it's not like they're all on their period.
That's not the. That's not
while they do it.
Oh, man.
But when they are, Lisa, they'll be so safe, is what I'm saying.
You're an odd man.
What's wrong with you?
So the urinal cakes we first heard about in this story in New Mexico, but now we're asking around, and apparently they got them here at K-Rock already. And I don't know if that's because we've had so many, you know, people pulled over and arrested on their way home from work. From here, but apparently they're using them here at the building.
The talking urinal cakes? Mm-hmm. Talking, yeah. Psycho Mike, did we bug the restroom? That's how we got there?
Yeah, Omar and I yesterday, we decided to find out a little bit of like what it sounds like in these urinals with people talking back and forth with urinal cakes. So we just, you know, put a little hidden microphone action, and this is what we got.
So who's the first person that goes into the restroom?
I think it's Jed Fish.
Jed.
Okay.
My hidden microphone in the restroom.
Oh, 106.7 K-Rock, Caro Q, it's Jed the Fish.
Hello, Jed.
I remember I filleted Terrence Trent D'Arby in the bathroom at the Viper Room in 91.
That is interesting.
Ah!
No. Number one only.
That's Judd's catch of the day for sure. No more fiber con for the Jedster.
Why? Yell the urinal cake.
Oh, did he say asshole? Is that what he said? Oh, that's sad.
That's awful.
I never thought I'd feel bad for a urinal cake, but Jed shouldn't have done that.
When the urinal cake was shouting number one only, that's a bad sign right there, right? All right, who do we have next?
Doc on the rock. He's constantly the bad news. He's destroying it.
Doc is the guy who runs down the hallway with the newspaper in his arm, and he says this.
It's time!
Oh, God.
And we're all like, we don't need to know. So here's a little of that.
Well, you see, they finally put a new urinal cake in here.
Good morning.
Urinal cakes were first developed by the ancient Romans, who also collected urine to use for dry cleaning purposes.
What are you talking about?
Urinal cakes were used in Vietnam to repel bugs and other pests that bothered GIs in the trenches.
If you could just go to the bathroom, that'd be great.
Urinal cakes have been designed now to talk.
No, seriously, shut the up.
No, you shut the up.
Asshole.
Oh,
What do you guys do over there after the show's aired? Well, you just send the tape straight over to the Smithsonian?
Well, this one we might.
And who's next? We have one more?
Omar goes in, I guess.
DJ Omar Khan?
Yeah, idiot. He's fried his brain. Forgot that we bugged
you. You bugged it. You put the microphone in there.
Must have forgot.
What in God's name?
Ones and twos, baby. Let me get this kid up here.
Urinal Cake 2000 welcomes you to the laboratory. Sir, what are you doing?
That's some good shit. DJ Omar Khan, I'm DJ Omar Khan.
Sir, are you aware that methamphetamine
causes who's that?
Brain damage and can affect the central nervous system?
You, Urinal Cake, DJ Omar Khan, DJ Omar Khan.
That's the drugs talking, sir. Are you really angry at me, or are you angry at yourself?
Well, now that I look at it, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe I should rethink how I'm living my life. Thanks, Urinal Cake.
It's my pleasure, Omar. I'm not just here to get peed on.
How about that? Making a difference.
That is a sweet story.
That is fantastic.
I have to say.
Thank
insightful
you.
Urinal Cake.
One of the funniest guys we know, we're always happy to have him on the program, is comedian Jay Moore. I hope he gets what he wants for Christmas this year.
Dear Santa, it's me, Jay Moore. You know the comedian. I know you make a list of who's naughty and who's nice, and I've been nice. Look, for Christmas, there's really only one thing I want. If you could get Serena Williams' big, sweaty, black ice cream scooper booty ass and rub it on my face as a washcloth, that would make me very happy on Christmas morning. I won't even open my other presents. I won't be able to. And I think you know why. Love, Jay. Now suck it, you fat f***.
That time of year when you buy toys for kids everywhere and you got to start thinking about some of the dangers that are going on there. That was way lame. I guess it's the Michigan Lawsuit Abuse Watch group that's called MLAW. Has come up with their wacky labels, their wacky warning labels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess because people will sue for anything. Someone will use a product in a way that it was not intended, and then somehow the company is to blame because you're an idiot. I guess right. The companies are now more and more having to put crazy things on warning labels. And this group is the one that keeps track of those. And we thought, well, new year, let's find out what they're talking about. Clark Brainerd is on the line right now from the Michigan Lawsuit Abuse Watch. Good morning, Mr. Brainerd. Thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
So do we have that right? It's just companies that are trying to cover their own asses because of stupid things that we consumers do with their products, right?
Absolutely. This is our 10th year at MLAW, and we have collected warning labels, actual warning labels on actual products that have all been the result of frivolous lawsuits. These right. are people who have misused the products, then taken the manufacturers to task in a court of law, and by necessity, these manufacturers have had to label these products in order to avoid any such further lawsuits.
Well, is it true, or did I just hear this wrong on the radio, that somebody you actually had to see a warning label that said, don't try to dry your phone in a microwave oven because that's something that somebody decided would be a smart idea?
Is it currently a warning label featured on a cell phone? Apparently someone did try to dry a wet cell phone in their microwave, and it destroyed the phone and the microwave, yes.
Hopefully the person, too.
Sadly, that person is still among us. But, yeah.
That's too bad.
These were pretty common. You'd see your warning labels similar to caution, contents are hot,
right.
With the McDonald's fruit pies or the cup of coffee.
Right.
They've gotten increasingly more ridiculous as time has gone by, and this is our 10th year. This is the most ridiculous group yet.
Really? Wow.
What caught the attention at MLAW this year?
Well, you probably heard the story. Everyone's been talking about the fact that the winner this year was the warning label on a front-loading washing machine that said, do not put any person in this washer.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that was the winner this year. But there were several that did not make the top 10, I think, are just as ludicrous that have never seen the light of day. I'd like to talk to you about those.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Apparently now on a can of Fix-A-Flat that you find in any automotive store,
right.
That carries the label now not to be used for breast augmentation. Apparently a young lady thought she'd save some money on plastic surgery, and the results were catastrophic.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Doesn't sound good.
Currently now on a roll of Lifesavers candy, you will find not for use as a flotation device.
Okay.
Well, that makes sense.
Someone threw a roll of butterscotch lifesavers to a drowning victim in a pool and did not work as well.
Grab a hold of this and hold on.
It's a lifesaver. Grab it.
Yeah.
On the refrigerators now, you'll see on the back of your refrigerator it says refrigerate after opening.
Sure.
Yeah. Pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Blenders these days carry the warning label, not for use as an aquarium.
Yeah, well, I can see that.
Yeah, sure. that was a bad one. That turned out poorly.
Could be ugly.
Currently, every U.S. manufactured SUV currently carries a label harmful or fatal if swallowed.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, someone tried to swallow an SUV?
Yeah, a guy named Ted. I don't know what that means.
Really? But, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Currently, cheese graters carry the label not for use to shave genitals.
Oh, no.
Oh, now you tell me, Clark. Now you tell me.
Oh.
Ziploc bags currently carry the warning label not to use to keep your baby fresh.
Oh. Oh. Seriously, Clark. Clark.
Yeah, that's I'm sorry.
Sounds like
I'm
you're laughing.
That one. No.
It sounded like you were chuckling.
No, I was, I don't know what I was thinking on that one.
Serious business.
That's not funny.
Rosie O'Donnell carries the label currently, do not watch on a full stomach.
Okay.
Oh,
I can see that. Good advice.
And Lindsay Lohan, also a celebrity, carrying the warning label, do not use near open flame.
Well, for obvious reasons.
Apparently a guy was banging her near a candle, and now he has skin grafts over 95%
of
his body.
Oh, wow, that's ugly.
Fire crotch just kind of blew up.
Wow. And let me tell you about the animal hater that is Bean.
Yep, that's what I'm famous for, all right. So, guys, I got trouble in paradise.
What happened?
I got real problems here.
No, you don't. You got the greatest story ever.
Dude, you've always had problems. What's going on?
You guys have been making fun of me for a long time because remember when I told you a few months ago that I had written to Dear Abby and you got all up in me because you thought no one ever writes to Dear Abby?
Yeah, of course. They're all fake. They're made up.
And 85-year-old women.
Yeah,
too,
right.
Too.
Well, I wrote to Dear Abby because I've been having a problem in the neighborhood, and I don't know how many of our listeners will relate to this, but I got a neighbor who...
None
is exactly the answer to that, but go ahead.
Well, everybody's had a situation with noisy neighbors, right? That's not uncommon. Everybody's had someone. They're doing construction, or they play the music too loud, or they got motorcycles up and down the street or something
but
like that.
But no one has your problem.
My specific problem is that my neighbor, about a year and a half ago, I guess maybe, got a rooster. Now, they had chickens, and they, you know, a lot of people where I live, it's kind of rural, and they have their chickens to lay eggs and, you know, that sort of thing. And they got a rooster. And I don't know how many people have ever lived next to a rooster, but you know how you hear, like in the movies, the rooster crows at sunbreak?
Yeah, sure.
You hear that sound, you go, oh, that's kind of nice. It's kind of rural. It's kind of homey. That sounds good. Well,
sure.
What happens, unfortunately, with roosters is that goes on for hour after hour after hour.
You mean they don't just do it right at 6 a.m. and stop?
I wish they did.
There's no snooze button on a rooster?
Like, it's not just during the morning either. I mean, they'll, you know, they're quiet a little bit midday, and then they come back in the afternoon, and they crow for hours more. Now, what do you do if you're me in that situation? I live in an area that is rural. I mean, I've got farm animals. I've got cows and a donkey, and I've got pigs. I mean, one of the reasons people live in places like this is because they want to be able to have their barnyard, right? So they have every right in the world to have a rooster. But where does their right to have a rooster run up against my right to get a good night's sleep once in a while?
Of course. That would drive me nuts.
What do you do, Kevin, if you're me? What do you do in that situation?
I write Dear Abby. I go out and I would never, ever, ever think of writing Dear Abby. I would go out in dark clothing and kill their pet.
Okay,
but see,
not.
You wouldn't.
That's not a rooster.
That's not an option.
If I'm not sleeping... Oh yeah.
So I did more than just write Dear Abby. I also have been in contact with the neighbors over the course of a year and a half.
Okay.
I said,
of course, contact them and say, is there anything you can do?
Yeah, I said, look, I understand you're allowed to have this rooster, but I got to tell you, I'm not able to get any sleep. And of course, we have very hot summers up here with no air conditioning. If you have your windows open at all to try to catch a breeze or something like that, you're going to have trouble with the roosters. Obviously, doing this radio show in the morning, I can't have the windows or the doors open as long as you've got the rooster because the thing just makes too much noise all the time.
Right.
I understand if it's a pet, but is there anything you can do? Can you move it further away? Can we relocate the rooster to someone else's house and we'll buy you eggs for life? Please work with me here, right? And
tough darts. That was the answer.
And you weren't angry at that point, right? You were just
absolutely
asking
nicely. How long you been asking and writing and contacting them, though?
It's been about 6 months, probably.
Oh.
And every time I hear from them, every time I speak with them about them or leave them a note, and then, you know, and then they call me, they go, yeah, we understand your concerns. We're taking it seriously. We're going to work on it. We're going to come up with some sort of a plan. Thank you for contacting. Sorry to bother you. So they seem really nice about it, okay?
Right.
It just was driving me crazy to the point. I mean, this rooster for like 20 hours straight was, you know.
Oh,
okay.
You're going to come around to my way of thinking.
Heard
Bean's,
that.
Bean's starting to write notes on rocks and throw him through the window.
So I wrote another note that was just cranked up just a little bit more
just
in
a notch.
My tone.
Yeah.
Just a notch. And it basically said, look, we've had this conversation for many, many months now. Please just let me know if you're not going to do anything about the rooster, and I won't continue to get my hopes up, and I promise I'll never say anything about it again, but just tell me that you're happy where the rooster is and that basically F off, okay? Basically just let me know so that I don't worry about it.
Okay.
So that's the note I left. So I get a call from my wife, and she says, you're not going to believe this, but the rooster's gone.
Woohoo!
And I said, oh, my God, that's the best news ever. She
fantastic.
Said, yeah, it's so fantastic. I guess you wrote this new note. And I said, yeah, I wrote this new note. She says they must have taken the rooster over to the animal park or wherever it is they go, you know, where they send the rooster or something like that. Just like you've been asking, it's fantastic. So my wife got this this basket of, like, bread and cookies and took it over and left it on their porch. And thank you so much for being so considering. We hope the rooster has a fantastic home
that's
and a happy
great.
Life. And it's so sweet. So we felt really good about it. And then she ran into my next-door neighbor at the hardware store later that same day.
Right.
And she said, oh, did you get the basket? The neighbor said, yeah, it was so thoughtful. Oh, we're just so happy that it worked out. We felt really bad. We love animals so much. We really felt bad to even say anything. But thank you so much for the help. You know, I hope the rooster's going to be very, very happy. And mm-hmm. she said, the neighbor says, what do you mean? And she says, well, I mean, I hope the place that you took the rooster, that rooster's going to have a happy life. Maybe a place where it's not going to be bothering anybody, but it's going to enjoy.
Right.
She's like, no, you don't understand. You asked us to take care of the rooster. Donna says, yeah, we wanted you to take care of it because of the – she said, no, we took care of the rooster. And then she makes the little Indian chop, the little tomahawk chop like this, you know, and the neighbor's got her daughter with her, like a 13-year-old or something like that. She's like, we'll talk about it later, but it's all good. We took care of the rooster.
They cut off the rooster's head?
Yes.
Nice!
They went out and they chopped the rooster's head off, and my wife... Now, I'm really upset about this. We laugh and
why?
Stuff, but
that's
I'm really...
That's the best-case scenario.
In a million years, my intent was not for them
so
to kill
what?
Their pet.
It's
want,
quiet it is, now.
That's part of the point, but that's not the whole point. I thought they'd take this rooster to a sanctuary somewhere or give it away to somebody who's got more land where the rooster could live and be a rooster.
Rooster Lake. went to Rooster Lake.
I didn't want Rooster Lake. Now, Donna did everything but burst out in tears in the hardware store when she heard this. And when she called me, when she called me after the meeting, she's like, you're not going to believe it. I can't. They killed the rooster. And I was like, oh, my God. I felt so bad. So now I'm the pet killer in
yes.
the neighborhood.
You put a contract out on a rooster.
That's how I feel.
Awesome.
We take care of the rooster, Mr. Baxter. Don't worry about it.
So now every time I go outside or I have my door open, I hear the silence. It almost makes me cry. Like, I'd give
That's
anything
awesome.
To hear that little rooster again.
The silence of death.
That's exactly
the
what
sweet,
it is.
The sweet, sweet silence of death.
Rooster killer. You're a rooster killer. How does that make you feel?
I couldn't feel any worse, frankly. I wish, honestly, That's I wish awesome. Now I'd never said a word.
For
I wish I'd never called them.
Yeah, no, for being of all people.
To cause the death of a rooster
did you,
is the best thing ever.
Did you talk to them and say, this is the biggest misunderstanding ever? Did you say that to them?
What, after I found out the rooster was dead?
Yeah.
I haven't spoken to them since. I only heard Donna talk to him
well,
at the
your
hardware store.
Well, they're next door
store.
Neighbors,
no,
for God's sake.
You're not going to go say that to them.
Bean, what am I going to say? I can't go over there now and go, we didn't mean for you bad? To kill the rooster.
I was just kidding.
Here's the thing, though. They're your next door neighbors. You don't have to wait to run into them at the store.
I don't know what to tell you, but I'm not going to go over there now.
I apologize. I didn't. If you thought that's what I wanted, you know, I'm really
well,
sorry.
Well, I will
by
have
the way,
that conversation.
Your daughter's been awfully loud lately.
We live in Southern California, of course, the plastic surgery capital of the world.
And just when you thought you'd heard of every possible surgery, they came up with a new one.
After the tummy tuck and the forehead tightener and the nose job, something still might be giving away your age, and that is your voice.
Ah, there you go.
For patients who think their trembly, raspy, or wispy words don't match their newly firm face, there's a procedure that claims to make them sound younger. It's a...
Hello.
It's a voice lift.
Hello.
You can get a voice lift to make you sound younger.
And I would imagine if you do a lot of work on the phone, and maybe you're not even that old, but you
That's
sound
right.
old, this would be really cool. Although, how do they do it?
Well, sometimes what happens is, I'll tell you how they do it in just a second. We have the doctor on
All
hold.
Right.
But, for example, one of the doctors is quoted saying there are people who pay $15,000 for a facelift, and as soon as they open their mouth, they sound like they're 75 years old.
Right.
because there's wobbles and tremors, and they just, their voice has become old because of a side effect of the other surgery. So you can.
All right.
You, oh, really?
Is this Godhead, yeah, or what?
So you could, a perfect example of someone who could use the surgery.
You could actually get a voice lift, and I thought we would talk to the doctor this morning and find out just exactly how it's done.
All right.
Is this Dr. Young, or who are we speaking with, sir?
This is Dr. Robert Sadilov.
Okay, good morning, Dr. Sadilov.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
We're doing fine.
Me too.
you heard on hold, we were talking about the voice surgery that you are doing there in Philadelphia.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can you tell us in layman's terms, please, how it is done? Is it a shot? Do they actually cut open your neck? What do they do?
Here at Graduate Hospital, we have two different techniques we use to make the voice sound more youthful and more pleasant.
Okay.
First of all, you can get implants inserted through an incision in the neck, and that brings the vocal cords closer together.
Implants?
Yeah.
Huh. You're very happy.
I am.
Okay.
And listen how great my voice sounds.
It does. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah. It's very soothing, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to ask if you've had the surgery. Is this you post-surgery, or have you just been...
I've had eight. Eight surgeries.
How old are you, sir?
I'm 41.
Okay.
But all my voice used to sound like this.
Oh, I see.
But now I sound much more pleasant on the phone, don't I?
Okay, now how does that work if you just get implants?
It brings the vocal cords closer together.
Okay.
Giving them a more gentle timbre.
I see. All right.
Or we can have substances like fat or collagen that can be injected right into the cords, and that plumps them up and gives the same youthful limberness.
Really?
Absolutely.
Now, what kinds of people come into your office for the surgery? Is it folks who have phone jobs, like Lisa said, that they just sound old?
Absolutely. People who spend a lot of time on the phone. People who yell quite a bit,
mm-hmm,
and find their voice gets hoarse in the course of the day. Also, professional radio personalities like yourself.
Is that right?
To make you sound more youthful, more hip, more with it.
Because because we talk so much for a living, our voice is going to start wearing out.
And people would like to hear something nice when they turn on the radio, don't you think?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So should I start talking like this?
I think you should. It sounds pretty good to me.
How much is the surgery?
Well, it varies. We can start you off at around $15,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a little pricey. We're still working out the kinks.
Then I don't want the surgery yet.
About $10,000.
Okay, fine. Now we're getting better. Now,
$7,500.
Great. So many of these surgeries that we hear about for the first time, it's because celebrities who have nothing but money to burn are the ones who are making them popular, making their need for the service. Do you
have
any celebrity clientele at your office?
I've got a waiting room full of them right here, as a matter of fact.
Right now?
Yeah.
No kidding. Who do you have there?
Oh, well, Jack Nicholson's here.
Can we talk to Jack?
It's his birthday. He's having a little voice work done.
Oh, he already...
Hold on. Let me get him. Jack, can you come
over? Fantastic. Jack Nicholson. What a surprise.
Yeah.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good, Jack.
Glad to hear it.
You sound much
different?
Younger.
Yeah.
See, it's a good thing.
Wow.
You can't handle the truth.
Why? Kind of sounds like Jack on helium a little bit.
You may have gone a little too young.
I think you need a lot of drinks, Lisa May, to kill the bug that's up your ass.
But Jack, a guy like you who's famous almost for his voice and for his delivery, it enhances the characters that you play in the movies. Why would you want to get the surgery?
Well, it turns out the ladies love it.
Oh, is that right?
And with all the yelling I do at Lakers games, it's kind of been rough on the old windpipe, you know what I'm saying?
I guess that makes sense. Wow.
Absolutely.
Now,
I think it's really turning out pretty well. So, what the hell?
Hey, Jack, it's changing as you talk. Jack, it's changing as...
It sounds like a duck.
It's gone horribly wrong.
Oh, no. I hope they can reverse this.
What's going on?
What? Jack? Jack, we're having trouble making out what you're saying. Jack. Hello, Jack.
He squeaks when he laughs.
It sounds like Jack needs to go back in for some more surgery.
I think he might have tightened my vocal cords up a little too much.
Yeah, a little too much. Well, good luck with that.
Hey, thanks so much,
Billy. Okay, bye now. We have a lot of help on this program, and we are very, very appreciative of that help.
And that's why we spare no expense at the holidays to give the very best.
QVC.
Whatever's on the screen,
this
you get.
This is nerve-wracking because, again, this could be a $1,000 item for all we know, or it could be $2.
We have the vinyl lanyard make-your-own keychain set.
Usually it's turquoise jewelry.
Three different size rings.
Oh, that's nice.
I've not seen you wear much turquoise jewelry. Mm. What have you done with all that?
Yeah.
I get so nervous when we make
this. Happy holidays from QVC. This is Ruth. Can I have your item number, please?
Hi, Ruth. This is Kevin and Bean. We're calling from K-Rock Radio in Southern California. We're on the air. How are you?
I'm fine.
Terrific. Ruth, every year for Christmas, we call the QVC with our friend Lisa, who works with us here on the show.
And hi, Ruth.
We buy for her whatever is on the screen. And this is, I have an account with you, and we do purchase it, and we're not going to waste your time here. But we don't know what item you're currently selling, but we would like to purchase it.
Whatever's on the screen. What's on the screen right now that you guys are selling?
What I have on my screen right now is a Samsung 29-inch widescreen high-resolution television.
No!
M2954.
Wait a minute.
What is It's a 29
high resolution.
It's
Is
that a TV screen?
HDTV thing?
It's let me read.
Read the price. Really is.
Flat screen.
It's widescreen. It has a high resolution PC monitor. I don't know
High resolution PC
monitor. That's
one of
those monitor. Flat monitors.
Oh,
29
my
inches.
God.
I hope we don't get disconnected, Ruth. It would be awful if we had to call back in 10 minutes.
Ruth, how much is this item, Ruth?
What happened to the Southwestern jewelry?
Let Ruth speak.
What's the price on it?
How much?
It is right now. It is $4,885.25.
Yes. I just ate my headphones off.
That's so funny.
And so this is Christmas.
Ruth, how much is it really?
Oh, my God.
It's $4,885.25.
Ruth,
we'll take two.
Can we do this on Easy Pay?
Oh, my God.
You know where you break it up in two payments?
It goes
there
on
is no payment plan.
No.
Payment plan.
Put it all on the credit card.
Well, then we'll just have to buy it like this.
Baxter is the credit card you'll be using.
Yes, put that credit card
on
there. Ralph, is this a friend of yours that you set up to have us call and play in the park?
I wish I had this kind of genius.
We're not buying you a $5,000.
Yes, you said whatever was on TV.
Yeah, but that's because it's always jewelry.
This morning you said you would do it.
Oh.
You guys.
Ruth, you're sick.
You have gotten off.
Wait a minute.
Is it still on the screen or has it moved on to something else now?
It is on the screen for four more minutes.
Let's stall. Lisa, do you have a computer at home?
Of course I have a computer.
At home?
Yes, at home. This is like a TV, isn't it?
Well, it's a computer screen. Is it a TV or is it a computer screen?
It's a TV, sir, that also, I think...
Oh, you can double.
You can also plug it in.
That's the way they're coming now, yeah.
So you can put it to cable into it or your computer.
Sir, it is. It says, this is one seriously thin TV.
Great.
That
take two.
Is so awesome.
You know what's funny is I thought you said it was $4,800.
Yes, sir. It's $4,885.25. Would you like me to?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hold on, Tom. Ma'am. Tom? Tom, yes.
As a decade of listening to Kevin and Bean, that made it worth it.
Yes.
And Lisa, do not walk out of that building until they pay for it.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, Tom. Thank you. Bye.
That is awesome.
I feel like we would be really bad guys if we didn't buy it.
I'm fine with that.
You said you would.
Listen,
I'm fine with that, too, actually.
I'm fine with being a really bad guy.
I don't see how we could not buy it. I don't see any way to walk out of here.
You can't. We give each other, you know, there's limits. At Christmas, there are limits.
12 years.
You say, here's the limit. Everybody spends $75 or something like that, right?
12 years of crap she's sat through.
20 bucks here. 30 bucks here for like every birthday and every Christmas.
How much is that with tax?
There's no tax on this item, sir.
All right. You know what, Ruth?
It was the nativity made out of popsicle sticks they had last hour.
We'll take it.
We'll put you on hold.
We'll take it, Ruth. I'll never do this again.
Jesus. Laurie, you still there?
I'm still here. Yeah.
Great job, sweetie.
Yeah, no I love you, sweetie.
That's our friend Laura. We kind of set her up to play the role of a QVC operator. We thought you guys deserved a little smack in the ass.
So good.
You never
never should have cracked, though, because then we had to buy the TV.
We were going to.
I know you were, but we thought we'd let you off the hook.
You guys are the best. You were actually going
to really
do
were,
it.
We really were, but yeah. Wow.
So we're going to go into this whole thing about you being cheap bastards.
I know. You were supposed to do that in the
you
summer.
You are funny.
Laura, that was so good.
She was excellent.
Laura, you were dead on. It was terrific.
Hey, Laura.
Yes.
Bitch.
We have Psycho Mike in the studio with us on a daily basis, but we're not happy with that. We would like him to die.
And that's why he drew the short straw and had to go on this assignment.
All right, Psycho Mike has joined us in the studio. Good morning, Psycho Mike.
Hello.
Will you please confirm for the people that Bean and I tried to talk you out of this bit?
That's absolutely asinine. Because sold me down the river like I've never seen before.
The conversation came up in the office a couple of weeks ago about the stereotype, perhaps, that African-American moviegoers talk more out loud in the theater than other races do.
The false stereotype. Sure.
The false stereotype. Of course. Kevin and I said, well, that's just insane. That's just crazy. You just sound ignorant when you say something like that. Psycho Mike said, not only is it true, honky, I can prove it.
It is true. Psycho Mike said. And much like I proved the Asians can't drive stereotype to be true, I'm here with an investigative report so revealing. So groundbreaking.
Well, I'm eager to hear the tape. And before we get to it, just because we do go to Kara Lister and Nell for all black-related issues on the show, it's not a rumor, says Nell. It's not a stereotype. It's a goddamn fact. It's why the bootleg market is so big in the hood. You can take a movie home and you can talk to it all you want. On a side note, Psycho Mike has issues. Why spend all that time eating right and working out only to be killed by a mob of angry black moviegoers? God bless that boy. Free tookie. So I guess we'll find out how it went in the tape, huh?
This really threatens to shake race relations here in America.
Is that right?
Right to its core, to
is
the
this
foundation.
An investigative report?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, so you guys sent me out to the Magic Johnson Theater. On Slauson.
Yeah.
And I was scared.
And by we sent you, you mean, hey, whatever you do, Mike, don't go to the Magic Johnson Theater, is what Kevin Bean said.
That's kind of how it went. Sure. And so I figured, look, we got Charles right here in the front.
Right.
So
our security guy,
I
we
go,
love Charles. He used to play drums for Little Richard.
Right.
Huh?
And he's a black guy himself. I figured, hey, before I go out on my little quest, my little crusade, why don't I talk to Charles, see what he can help us with? How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great.
We've been curious about this for a long time, and you know, you can definitely help us out. Why is it that black people in general like to talk at the movie theater?
Well, they like to entertain while they're being entertained. You know, they just like to they talk a lot, and they like to discuss the movie while the movie's going on.
But they don't seem to mind. It doesn't bother them that they might be interrupting the movie or ruining the movie for other people?
I think they know, but some people just don't care. They just want to get their point through and everything. They just want to talk and all that jazz, you know?
All right, Charles. And why do you feel that this is exclusively a black thing?
Well, I think it's part of the culture. We love to talk a lot. I personally don't, but a lot of my brothers talk a lot. A lot of my soul brothers talk a lot.
There you go.
So black people are entertainers.
So that warmed you up.
So they're naturally entertainers.
I would like to speak out as one person who is entertained by that. I do not find that disruptive at all.
You love it.
I find that very entertaining.
Well, not everybody's
bothered by it. I find it entertaining that Charles says he doesn't like to talk a lot. I find that entertaining.
As you said, Kevin, not everybody's bothered by it.
Right.
But Joseph, the next black gentleman that I talked to when I did make it down to the theater, he was just as bothered by it by some white folk. Now, I'm a white individual, and I was just curious about something. I've noticed a trend. Why is it that the black insist on talking during movies?
Most of them are straight ignorant, have no consideration for others who are actually there to watch the movie. And it just bothers me, too, when I'm there to actually watch a movie. And got people there that just don't want to be there and actually enjoy the movie, but want to sit there and cause commotion and talk on the phone and just whisper amongst themselves and look stupid.
It bothers you just as much as it bothers other people.
Right. By the way, he's talking about people who talk on their cell phones and different things like that. I mean, I think this is targeted at people who speak to the screen, to the people on the screen.
Because I got news for you. White people are the ones who are talking on their cell phones in two-way.
Bastards.
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to do that hard-hitting expose later.
Why do white folk talk on cell phones? So next guy I talked to is Dean. Now,
By the way, let me give you props because Psycho Mike went down there and purposely avoided the term African-American.
Oh, that's BS. There's no way I'm going to utter those words.
It's too easy to get away with when you're doing
give
this.
Give me a break. So I talked to Dean, and he's kind of like the dashiki-wearing, educated, pro-black, pro-Africa type of Negro.
Sure.
And so when I talked to him, He gave me a whole dissertation on macroeconomics that I was not expecting. Hello, sir. What's your name?
My name is Dean.
Now, Dean, you're an African-American, a black man. Is this true?
Last time I looked, yes.
Let me ask you a question. Why is it that the black individual feels compelled to talk during movies in the movie theater?
You did it. You took our suggestion to say X.
Yeah.
I mean, your own decision.
People. Right. Yeah.
See, hold on now. I'm going to say this. The thing I like about white people is that they have a plan. They have a plan for everything. This question you're asking me, it's a setup. You want to know how to make one of these theaters in your neighborhood. Because you see how much fun it is. We're not there to watch a movie. We're there to entertain ourselves, eat, get drunk, and maybe even get laid. But we're not there to watch a movie. If you go to one of our theaters, you're going to see there's a Kentucky Fried Chicken, a Church's Chicken, and a Popeye's Chicken within walking distance. You're going to find that there's a liquor store around the block.
Wow.
These people are the people that are making money for the theater. The concession stand is empty. There's nothing in there. You can't buy candy.
And who's going to pay $7 for a box of Junior Mint?
When you can have $7 worth of Bud Light.
Boom!
Wow. Was that a real guy, Frank, or is that one of your friends you put up to that?
Come on now.
I wondered what happened to Carlton from The Fresh Prince.
That guy.
Yeah, no kidding.
He was a self-proclaimed Oreo.
Okay.
And so there you go. Little did we know that it's a whole money-making scheme.
Wow, I didn't realize
that. Now, there couldn't be a more opposite type of African individual than Tommy J. Nelson. He was completely on the other spectrum when it comes to African-American folk. What's your name?
Tommy J. Nelson.
Where are you from?
Memphis, Tennessee, born and raised.
And I just had a quick question. As you can see, I'm a white guy. You know, so there's a lot of things I don't understand about the black community. Can you tell me why black people insist on talking during movies?
Some just have a zero tolerance, and some are just ignorant. Most of us go to the movie to listen and enjoy, and most just go to kick back with their homies.
But a lot of people, they'll talk during movies. Do you have any idea why that is?
Some be talking to direct or let other people know what the movie is about, and others just be gossiping, carrying, making noise.
I love that guy.
That's right.
I do, too. He's Roosevelt from The Family Guy is who he is.
Now, then came Cassandra. I'm starting to really feel it there.
Were you ever afraid while doing this?
Oh, dude, when I first got there, I was so scared. And I mean really scared. At 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. In that neighborhood, I'm the only white guy for miles. And I'm looking around. I'm like, this might not be a good idea. But I had to suck it up, you know, because I'm dedicated as a broadcaster.
And you say that because obviously all blacks are cold-blooded killers and you're likely to get beaten just because of the color of your skin? Is that your suggestion here, Mike?
If I was, like, a real reporter asking real valid questions, I probably wouldn't be that scared. But I knew I was going to try to bust balls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this might not be a good idea because I'm so outnumbered.
Did you say you were a broadcast professional?
Yes.
Okay.
And next came Cassandra. And she was so hot, like a smoking hot Nubian princess.
Really?
Yeah, she was like a young Pam Grier mixed with like a little bit of a Beyonce going.
Wow.
Yeah, very,
dude.
Very hot, very fine. So I approached her, and she just dropped the bomb on it. She really let the cat out of the bag. So what's your name, ma'am?
Cassandra.
Are you a beautiful young black woman? Are you not?
That's what they tell me.
I have a quick question. Why does the Negro feel the need to talk during a movie?
It's a requirement.
It is?
It is.
What? And why is that? Do you have secret black person meetings and you discuss these things when we're not around?
Yes. We talk about the ridiculousness of Hollywood movies all the time. So when we're in our own community, we're discussing it out in the open. It's like an open forum.
So you feel you're actually doing other moviegoers a service by kind of filling the holes that the movie's given us?
Absolutely.
Now, are there other requirements in the black community besides talking during movies?
Yeah, there are, but we'd have to kill you.
Oh, yeah, it's classified information. You tell me you have to kill me.
That's right. We don't spread that stuff. That's between our people.
Okay, well, now that we've got the logistics stuff out of the way, how much do I have to pay you for a piece of your sweet chocolate ass?
How much you get on you?
7 cents and half an Abba Zabba.
You're cute, but you're not that cute. Sorry.
Aww.
I gave it a shot.
Nice try, Mike. I applaud you for going for it, though.
Dude, you got to load up on the cash before you ask that kind of question.
I'm nothing if not smooth, by the way.
But how do you help your fellow moviegoers if you're yelling, don't go in there, don't open that door? How does that enrich the experience for others?
It enriches mine. I love it.
There's a lot of Kevins out there, Bean. You'd be surprised.
I could listen to that all day.
All right. So I'm really rolling now.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Feeling it. I'm like, I'm part of the community now. I'm in there.
Yeah, right.
And this is the last dude I talked to. His name was Jerome. And you can see why. Speaking with Jerome, say hello, Jerome.
What up?
Now, you appear to be a black man.
Yup.
Let me ask you a question. Why is it that the Negro feels the need to talk during movies?
What the f*** are you trying to say, my nigga?
Listen, Negro, I'm your amigo. Come on, I'm just curious. Why? Why do they have to?
Because we can.
Okay, good enough for me.
See you later.
Peace out. Thank you very much. Court adjourned.
I got to get me to a car.
I was out.
That is spectacular. I've never been called my nig.
No.
Nicely done. Even though we do not
endorse what I've done.
Endorse that or support that in any way.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
If there's one thing we've learned by working in Southern California, it's the Scientologists love to be made fun of. Big fans. Nice men.
We've been talking about something for quite some time, and it's come up about three different times, and it's fascinating to us. I got this email from somebody on the same topic. It's about Scientology. Hey, guys, regarding the story you were talking about this morning where Psycho Mike was confronted because of his T-shirt. This is Psycho Mike. He was down at 3rd Street Promenade.
No, Farmer's Market.
Farmer's Market. Yeah. And he had a T-shirt on that said Scientology is gay. It had a picture of Tom Cruise. Obviously a joke because there's no one on this planet more heterosexual.
So heterosexual. And fertile? My God.
And Tom Cruise.
He spits babies out just by thinking about it.
It sounds to me that Scientology members are taught the tactic that lawyers utilize, which is discredit witnesses. This witness can't testify against my client because he jaywalked before. You can't talk about Scientology because you're a child molester.
And by the way, excellent point in the email here. How often do you see in a trial where somebody's on testifying in a bad check case and they'll say, isn't it true that you fill in the blank something oftentimes completely unrelated? Oh, you had a drug problem. Oh, you want us to believe that a former drug addict is the credible witness. I mean, that's what you do is you discredit the witness if you're not going to argue on the facts of the case. And it seems to us, because of so many incidences of this happening lately, that Scientologists have put out a memo that say, look, if somebody questions our religion, you go after them and accuse them of whatever heinous crimes you can think of.
This has to be – it had to be a memo that went out because it – all of a sudden started happening. Three different times we have seen it happen. The email goes on, and I think the reason they keep coming at you with this repeatedly is because they want to goad you into getting angry. That way, if you're angry and you respond back with anger, they can say, see, this person is crazy. How can you believe the words of a crazy person? That's just Leonard's theory. This is the same story that we heard from John – is it Roker or Rocker? Roker. He was the director of Live Freaky, Die Freaky, and he, I think, had the same T-shirt on. Mm-hmm. And called in, and I think it was Jenna Elfman.
Yes.
And her husband, Bodie, right.
And her husband in New York started yelling at him about what were his crimes. What were his crimes? What are your crimes? And they were yelling at him like crazy. And he said, I didn't even know what they were talking about, but that's what they've been trained to do. Now, at that point, we didn't know that's what they've been trained to do.
Yeah, he was so confused. They start talking about, are you a child molester? He's like, because I'm wearing a Scientology's gay T-shirt, I'm a child molester? It flipped him out. But since then, it's happened to every person that's run into a Scientologist.
So Psycho Mike's wearing the same shirt. They come up to you, and what were they yelling at you?
What are the extent of your crimes? Do you molest children? Have you? When was the last time you raped someone? Just unbelievably
absurd
and arbitrary things, though. I mean, like I said, there was no introduction to these type of comments.
And by the way, for clarification here, Mike was never convicted of any of those charges, by the way. Convicted, not convicted.
And like I said, this did not come with any type of introduction. We didn't have any type of conversation or dialogue before this.
Right.
He approached
out of the blue.
Right out of the gate with accusing me of being a molester, a rapist.
Obviously, this is the practice. If somebody makes fun of them, they have to attack, and they have to attack hard.
Right.
Well, there is a website called Xenu TV, XENU.TV, I think, .com. And it's pretty spectacular. And they don't like it because this guy, I think his name is Mark, has been anti-Scientology for a long time. And they were having a 4th of July street fair or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed up with a camera. And it's so funny because you could see every single person on that street that wants to walk into the, you know, street fair is perfectly allowed.
They're all just wandering in.
Everybody. Yeah. There's nobody checking ID or anything else.
Yeah.
Just open
it's
to the public.
Fair to every, open
he's essentially
everyone.
On the no-fly zone list for Scientologists.
So
they know who he is. Yes. They know why he's there. They just don't want to let him in.
So they will not let him in. And he's got the camera rolling. And you can see this at Xenu TV. And when you listen to this, you'll say, wow, it's really – that's the manual. That's how they handle people that are questioning their faith is they just go after you personally as hard as they possibly can. So here he is. And listen to his voice and how un
upset he is. I mean, he just seems so calm and almost he's laughing at them a little bit. And they're trying to get him mad. They're trying to get him mad. They're accusing him of all kinds of crimes. And he's just not having any of it, but he got it on camera.
What are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid.
I think you are, Mark. You wouldn't be afraid if you weren't doing what you're doing, Mark. You're doing something. It's proof that you're afraid. You're afraid of the success of Scientology because people are going to find out your crimes. What are they, Mark? Spit them out. Get it off your chest. Murder, perhaps?
Okay.
So many people are just walking around who are murderers. They and just,
they start with murder.
Because he showed up at a street fair
yes.
with a camera, all of a sudden he's trying to hide murder?
Yes. Murder was the case that they gave him.
Yeah, that is true. I don't follow the logic here.
That's another thing that
there's no logic.
That's another thing that the guy came at me with was are you man enough? Do you have the courage to admit your crimes? Why don't you just do it? Come forward. Come forward with your crimes.
Well, this is the way that you sidetrack a conversation. If somebody's accusing you of something, all of a sudden they're no longer talking about you. You're talking about them, and they're on the defensive.
Right.
That's what they're doing.
Something in your closet there?
Yeah, I killed a guy once.
Now, this is funny because he's screwing around with them. So they say, murder, perhaps? He says, yeah, I killed a guy once. And then now they say, tell me about it. And he starts telling them a story, and then they get mad.
Tell us about it.
As a postal worker back in Wisconsin, Mark Wortman, I chopped him up into pieces and buried him in a ditch.
Yeah, that's real funny, Mark.
Did you take time off from beating your wife to come down here?
I must have, because after all, if you speak out against Scientology, you must be a wife beater.
You know what?
Yeah.
You're hiding behind this camera. You got this
I'm
big...
I'm hiding behind nothing. I'm giving you a chance
Listen,
to save
buddy,
your situation.
Listen, buddy, you can't even look me straight in the face. You're sitting there hiding behind with one eye closed
you,
looking
right
through
there.
The lens.
Okay, they're not that good at it sometimes. You got one eye looking at me and the other eye's in that camera that's looking at me.
Hey, don't tell us, man. We've interviewed Doto. We know what that feeling's like.
Wuss. You know you got the crimes. You know you've done things. What is it? Spit it out.
Well, unfortunately, you don't have a PC folder on me that you can cull to find out whatever.
Well, we can make
crime.
Some good educated guesses.
Yeah, what would they be?
Oh, I'm sure you're a child molester, my
Boom, child molester.
Wow.
There you go.
So you got murder, you got child molester.
Because those are the two most heinous things that you can accuse somebody of.
And rape is the other
and
thing.
Rape,
that they,
yeah.
So,
okay, all right.
He looks like it to me. I mean, that'd be my guess. But why don't you tell us, Mark? What is it?
What are your crimes?
It helps people. If you're attacking it, then you're afraid people are going to get better.
Lisa McPherson didn't get better. She died.
Now he brings up somebody that I don't know the story of her, but I guess it's one of these people that supposedly died in Scientology. I can't, you know, stand up for anything.
Lost Mark. 40 pounds in 17 days because you folks trapped her in a room and kept her on
Mark.
Baby watch.
Mark.
Introspection rundown.
That hasn't had anything to do with Scientology. People
yes,
die every day. No, it doesn't.
They were following the tech.
One person died.
They tried to escape. You folks tracked her down at the hospital, dragged her back, locked her in a room. Under
what have you done?
Watch.
Boom, right back
oh,
to him.
Look at that.
What have you done,
well,
though?
They certainly didn't deny it, though,
okay,
did they?
But whatever about her. What about you?
What have you done
she
like
died.
That? What have you done? What have you done, Mark, like that?
I don't believe I've
you're
locked
telling
anyone
us,
in a room.
I think you're telling me
die.
Your own crime. Why don't you just give me the details on
have
it?
You
know what? I think that's not what I did. I think that's what you did.
That's right. All right, we killed some people, but what about you, Mark?
Here's my suggestion. Let's do the same thing. It works.
What, you want to go down there? Or,
no,
oh,
no.
You want us to start handling all criticism that way?
Every time somebody criticizes us, we have to ask them what their crime is.
So somebody calls up and they go, seriously, I hate that Gnarls Barkley song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Child molester? Is that what you think?
Are you a murderer?
You want me to listen to a murderer?
You're calling because you're a murderer? That's what we're going to start doing.
It works. If I can nominate someone to engage in a debate in an irrational and attacking way, I'm going to put Kevin right at the forefront of that list.
Who would be better at that than me? That is now the Kevin and Bean mode.
I'm in.
Okay.
Tends to work for Scientology. I think it'll work for us as well. People seem to be afraid kind of all the same things. Everybody's afraid of public speaking. Everybody's afraid of death. Everybody's afraid of being bitten by a zombie, turning into one.
Hey, who can blame a man? That's real.
You know, we talk about a lot of different topics on this show, and every once in a while, something will come out of left field and completely surprise us.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what this particular topic did, because we didn't know that there was anyone who was alive today who was afraid of what this guy's afraid of.
Let's talk to K-Rock listener Ronnie about the email we got last week. Hey, Ronnie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Good morning.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. How long have you been listening to the little program?
Oh, it's been about 5 years, I think.
Wow. Right. Thank you very much. So I got this email from you at the end of last week. Dear Bean, this email begins, am I the only one that constantly thinks about how they would survive when the dead come back to life to kill the living? You're talking about zombies, right, Ronnie?
Yes, I am.
I'm always on the lookout for buildings with little or no windows that would be a good place to defend in case of a zombie attack. I'm always looking out for the nearest item that I could use as a weapon to bash a zombie's brain in, because we all know that's the only way to stop a zombie. I look for escape routes for me and my family for when they come to the front door, the back door, or the garage. I've got high spots picked out in my neighborhood that we can climb to get out of reach of the zombies, because we all know that zombies can't climb. I've decided that other typical places like police stations and military bases that are good hiding places, the best local place to go that will keep the zombies out is a bank. It's one of the few places that's built specifically to keep people out. We'll have to venture out for food, of course, but I plan to stop at the nearest grocery store and grab as much food and water as I can before I head to the bank. I think it's a good plan. If you have any suggestions on how to help me prepare for a zombie invasion, please feel free to let me know. Now, we read your email, Ronnie, and I got to tell you, you opened up the floodgates.
Well, we read your email on the air, and then we got, like, a bunch of other listeners that emailed us and said, oh, my God, I can't believe Ronnie's afraid of just like I am.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I can't be the only one to think
that.
Well,
we thought you were.
We hoped you
until
were.
Until we read your email, and then we realized everybody is afraid of zombies.
The dead who live on living flesh. The dead whose haunted souls hunt the living. The living whose bodies are the only food for these ungodly creatures.
They're mindless walking corpses. Zombies, man. They creep me out.
It's like they're pretending to be alive.
Is everyone dead?
Dead-ish.
Dead-ish, sure.
Dear Kevin, Bean, Ralph, and Lisa, regarding the paranoid listener whose idle mind is occupied with zombie defense strategies, well, the best place to go in the event of a zombie invasion would be Costco. They've got nearly indefinite food supply, big screen TVs and DVDs to occupy your time. They're all fortified with roll-down doors that the undead would not be able to claw through. And most Costcos are three stories tall with unscalable walls. The roof would be an excellent place to pick off zombies with rifles for defense or sporting purposes. Zoe, what's going on, Ronnie, that you're afraid of zombies? What's the deal?
Well, isn't everybody? I mean, well, wouldn't you be afraid of zombies?
Well, I am now. I wasn't until I got your email.
How often have you watched Dawn of the Dead or whatever those movies were?
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm not even a real big zombie movie fan. But when I do see a zombie movie, it irritates me so bad when they do such stupid things like walk up to him and ask him, sir, are you okay, when his face is half, you know, off?
But, Ronnie, I'm not a zombie expert, but don't they walk at about 1 foot per hour?
Well, it depends on what movie you're watching. If you watch House of the Dead, they're super zombies, and they like to jump, you know, 50 feet. And
well, then how's
strong.
Your little stay up high plan going to work? Isn't that for bears?
Well, if it's super zombies, I'm screwed.
We're all screwed if it's super zombies.
Right. I mean, it seems like zombies would be easy to run away from. It doesn't seem like they could ever catch you.
But if there's a lot of them, and they're surrounding your house, you can't just run away from them. You have to get up high. You have to find alternate escape routes.
It seems like if you just ran full... Listen to us talking now as if it's going to happen.
No, he's right. You couldn't.
Yes,
if
you
your
could.
House was surrounded by zombies...
Just run through them.
No, it's not. They're strong enough to stop you.
No, they're not. They're dead.
Sometimes they're like 10 deep. How can you run through 10 deep?
Dude, they're dead. They
it's
don't
like
exactly.
Red Rover.
They haven't exactly been working out, you know?
Yeah, but they still weigh like 150,
How
200
do you know
pounds.
What a zombie weighs?
Let's go to Candace and Elisa Viejo. We're talking about the coming zombie invasion and what we can do to avoid it. Candace, you got some experience with people being afraid of zombies, huh?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Who's afraid of zombies in your house?
Yeah, my stepdad is afraid of zombies, and he was telling my mom and me about how he's afraid of zombies and his plan of how everybody would get out of the house, and we thought he was ridiculous. But he has it all worked out that they've got enough food, and if it came down to it, they've got two cats. So they can eat one cat, and the other cat can chase mice and catch mice so they can live in the house, no problem.
Okay, your stepdad told you all this?
Yeah, he did. It's ridiculous.
Was he laughing when he told you, or was he serious?
No, he was dead serious. And I guess there's some book that's the ultimate survival guide to, I don't know, dead or zombie attack or something that he sent me a link to, and he said, no, you've got to read this book because it tells you that they're going to come. The zombies are going to come.
How old were you when your stepdad told you this?
Oh, this was just a couple weeks ago.
How old are you now?
I'm 28.
28.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, stepdad's gone bye-bye.
No, it's crazy.
Thank you, Candace.
Hey, Ronnie, have you read the Max Brooks book that she's referring to, the Zombie Survival Guide?
No, I'm going to Google it right now.
Dude!
Apparently, it's a very, very hot seller. I also want to thank K-Rock listener Tim for sending me a link to his website. He, Kevin, writes Zombie Haiku, which I think... Tornado above, wind ripping, dead flesh from bones, zombie keeps walking. That sort of thing. Haiku about zombies. Apparently, we have really tapped into something here.
All right, let's say good morning to Dennis from Torrance. Good morning, Dennis.
Morning.
You're also freaked out by zombies.
Well, I'm not really freaked out, but I've definitely spent more time with, like, friends or something, just kind of BSing around, like, watching a bad zombie movie of how to survive a zombie attack than how to avoid an Al-Qaeda attack.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if there's some kind of a gas or some kind of an attack like that, you're not prepared. But if zombies back...
But if zombies, I know exactly. First off, every one of the movies, they figure out real quick, the bite's what causes them to turn into zombies.
I see, so if they
and
bite you...
And none of them bother to put on, like, jackets or... Even, like, you know, like, hey, put on shoulder pads at least, you know.
Who has shoulder pads laying around the house, though, Dennis?
Go raid your local high school. Get football equipment, something. Dennis. Mean, they just put on an overcoat. I mean, they walk out bare-armed, like, oh, my God, I got bit.
How old are you, Dennis?
I'm 35.
Okay. All right.
But then, I mean, we'll watch, like, lots of the bad movies. Like, we loved Shaun of the Dead.
Sure.
Army of Darkness. And-
sure. You watch them too much, Dennis.
Good
stuff.
Thanks for calling.
Unhappy zombie, what plagues you so, oh dead one? My right arm fell off.
Thank you very much. Please give a zombie haiku.
Let's talk to Manny, who scares me, I think, more than even Ronnie. Good morning, Manny.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hello, Manny.
Tell us about your fear.
Well, I've not so much as a fear as preparedness. I mean, I've got my I got a 14-inch machete that I drive around with in my Explorer. I just kind of keep it under my seat.
Is that because you live in Inglewood, or are you from Columbia? Or
I
what?
Live in Inglewood.
You do?
Manny, I got to tell you, I have received emails already this morning from others who carry around big knives or machetes because they say they don't run out of bullets, and you can kill a lot more zombies with a sharp blade than you can with a gun. Is that your thinking, too?
That's absolutely true. Any kind of blunt object will do it.
But, Manny, are you kidding when you say you carry a machete around?
No, I mean, I also go hiking and stuff, you know, and like to clear a trail and stuff, but I mean, that's the main reason.
It's really for zombies.
Yes, I have the survival guide.
How old are you, Manny?
Kevin, why are you hating on preparedness, man? These people are all a step ahead of you and me. We're going to be the first to get killed by the zombies.
I can
because
run
we
through
have
the zombies.
Well, you say that now, but a lot of people will get killed by zombies.
Yeah, but I'll wear an overcoat. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? All right, let's go to Jared in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Now, you've read this book, this Max Brooks's book.
It's the best book ever. I used to be like a zombie, you know, novice fearmonger about zombie, just invasions and all kinds of crazy stuff. But fortunately, I worked through it with that book.
Oh, so, so you're no longer afraid?
No longer afraid after that book.
Is that because
you're
prepared?
Because I'm prepared.
Because he's prepared.
Oh, I see. Do you carry a machete around?
I do not carry a machete around. I live a perfectly normal life nowadays.
How are you prepared then? What's the preparation? What is it? What's the secret?
Basically, I'm screwed no matter what. So it's kind of that, you know, that resolve knowing that they're going to win no matter what. But at least I know that I gave it my best when it finally happened.
But Jared...
So you can take out a few before you go.
Absolutely.
Okay, I don't want to hang with you then because you've got a really defeatist plan. Let's talk to Leanne who's calling from Anaheim. Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning.
How are all you people afraid of zombies?
I am. That's the worst thing that could possibly happen. I am not scared of terrorists. I am all about the zombies.
Well, isn't President Bush speaking to this, then, if this is our problem?
That's a great point. You know, he just did the State of the Union address a couple of weeks ago. Not a word of zombies. Before we hear your story, perhaps some more zombie haiku from our friend Tim. Zombie, poor zombie, why was death on vacation on your dying day? All right, what's your plan, Leanne? How are you going to avoid being killed by zombies?
Yeah,
I have started rationing and... bringing in supplies, and I'm starting to get a shark suit made because the zombies cannot bite through the shark suit.
Oh, that's very smart. Very
You're getting
smart.
A shark suit made. Are those the ones that are made out of, like, chain link?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I go
all right, wait a minute. Leanne.
Gun range.
Leanne.
And I practice.
You're kidding about the shark suit?
No.
How much is it costing you?
No, I'm in the process. It's still being, like, thought out, but
you're going to get a shark suit in case the zombies attack.
Absolutely.
I have no problem. I am Leanne, sign me up for one too. Would you get two made, please?
All right, definitely.
I love every one of you people. This is awesome. You are my people.
And as we approach Christmas, we do like to bring in some of our friends for some of their Christmas memories. Funny man Bobcat Goldthwait, what do you have for us?
The turkey won't make you upchuck. And I hope your Christmas doesn't suck.
It does not.
Okay, boys and girls, it's been a lot of fun, but it's time to go off to bed now.
Sneak another one, Uncle Bobcat.
I'd really like to, but it's getting late, and the band's union, they've really been busting my nads.
Aww. Please, please, please.
Maybe we have time for a story. Would you like to hear a story?
Yay!
This is a story about a family, a mommy and a daddy and two children. One's named Amy, and one's named Luke. Who's telling the story, you little...
Sorry.
It was Christmas Eve. Mommy was in the kitchen preparing the holiday meal. A warm fire was crackling in the den. Amy and Luke were at the table, making out their last-minute Christmas list. But where was Daddy? Was he out in the back getting firewood? No. Was he up on the roof hanging Christmas lights? No. Daddy was out. Throwing back tall boys at a sleazy strip club. Stuffing dollar bills Mommy'd been saving to buy Amy a new brace for her leg down a horse G-string. Daddy'd been drunk before, but this time he was so loaded he never even noticed he'd been urinating all over his brand new corduroy church slacks.
Mommy.
What? Shut your whimpering. Shut that cankle before I shut it for you. Get over here.
Mommy.
Don't you f***ing look at me with those eyes. Don't you dare f***ing look at me like that. Where was I? Oh, yeah. And when he did stumble home, it wasn't the sound of reindeer the children heard. It was the sound of Mommy sobbing while Daddy ralphed in their stockings. And when he fell over backwards on the Christmas tree, it was only a matter of seconds before the thing caught fire. Hot flames roared through the house. Luke was able to get out, but poor little Amy with that heavy iron brace from the 1920s on her leg wasn't so lucky. She called out for help. She screamed, "Kill me! Kill me! I'd rather die than burn to death! Kill me, Daddy! Kill me!" "Go ahead! Leave, you bunch of cowards! You can't handle the truth!" "What, you want stories about reindeers and elves and fairies? Well, that's not the real world, is it? Sometimes your heart gets broken, little bastards! Woman, give me another cup of nog!" Merry Christmas from Bobcat Goldway.
With the biggest blowhard in America, Gene Simmons.
I know that you know of Kiss, the band.
Of course.
Gene Simmons, of course. Gene Simmons has every Kiss item that has ever been known to man is available. Thimbles, you know, hair clips.
Coffin, right?
Shirts, coffins, shoes, socks, any kind
of
clothing.
You can think of.
Underwear, I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
Somehow he's capitalized on Kiss to an extent that no one has ever seen before.
Yeah.
But you may not know that he has now formed an entertainment company that is, it's a marketing company that is now going to start repping other clients, not just Kiss.
Oh, no kidding.
Because he's, I guess, so good at it.
He obviously is.
The IndyCar series, it turns out, will race into a new season with efforts to grow the sport, broaden its fan base, and make more noise than ever. They announced that they forged a unique marketing alliance with Gene Simmons and entertainment industry veteran Richard Abramson. And they own this company, the Hollywood-based Simmons Abramson Marketing Company.
He's going to market the Indy?
He's going to market anybody that wants him to market them. Which
no
is not
kidding.
Not a bad idea because he's so great at it, obviously.
Yeah.
But they actually have a song for the Indy Car series called "I Am Indy," and Gene Simmons wrote and recorded this. Didn't put a lot of work into the lyrics, necessarily. Good morning, Gene Simmons.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? It's Gene Simmons, bass player, sometimes singer,
right.
Oftentimes lover.
Right, right. We were just talking about your new company, this Hollywood-based Simmons Abramson Marketing Company.
Very exciting, isn't it?
And how you now have come up with the theme song for the IndyCar series.
Yes, I did. It's a fantastic song, as most everything I create is.
It does say "I am Indy" about 10 times in a row.
Truth be told, Kevin, when they came to me to develop that song, I thought they were talking about Cindy. And I banged Cindy outside of the Red Rocks Amphitheater in Denver during the 1981 Kiss Unmasked tour.
She's in your little black book?
Yes, I took her backstage and did the inverted Screaming Blowfish, which has only been performed 4 times on record by any man.
I didn't know that you could invert that.
Like I said, it's only been performed 4 times in history, but I could show you some time. You're a very powerful and handsome man. I'm sure you could pull it off.
So you thought it was a girl. You didn't realize it was an Indy car race.
Yes, but it worked out in the end, didn't it?
But then you were quoted as saying, Indy cars are rockets on the ground. These drivers are modern knights in shining armor.
Wow.
It's true. This is a very manly sport, and as you know, Gene Simmons puts the man back in romance. And
sure.
I figured I could involve myself with something as sultry, as dangerous as IndyCar racing, because I am, in fact, Gene Simmons.
Right.
If you'd like to learn more about me, www.kissarmy.com.
Right, sure.
Thank you.
And that's where you can buy 75 million products that have to do with Kiss.
78 million.
78 million, I believe.
Wow.
I do know that last time you came into the studio, you pretty much made Lisa and assistant producer Alex a little squirmy.
Speaking of that, Lisa, are you busy tonight?
That's
terrible. I had a whole night of vision for us. I wanted to take you on a cruise in my limousine along PCH at the sunsets.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
When you weren't paying attention, I would remove my pants and continually try to feel your chest.
Wow.
No matter what you'd say.
That sounds like quite a night for her.
That sounds like exactly what happened in the studio.
In the romance.
Now, Gene, this Gene Simmons Entertainment marketing company.
Yes.
Do you have any other clients yet, or is it just IndyCar racing?
Mostly. Right now, we're just working on IndyCar as far as the finished product, but there's a lot of products that are in production. Of course, I am Gene Simmons.
Right.
One of the greatest businessmen to ever come across rock and roll.
Sure.
I have everything is on the horizon right now. Of course, we're opening up the Kiss Coffee House in Seattle.
I have heard that, yes.
That's right.
Now, are you going to be working there?
I will not personally be behind the counter, but I will show up every once in a while to get my cup of joe. And, Lisa, speaking of coffee, do you take cream?
Oh, come
on,
Gene.
Drink tea.
For I'm God's willing sake. To oblige anytime, just to let you know.
Strictly herbal tea. Sorry.
Okay. Well, if you ever make the switch over to the Jet Black Gold, I'm willing to provide the cream.
The coffee house. Okay.
Speaking of Lisa, I hear you, I'd like to congratulate you on your Golden Pylon Award.
Oh, thank you.
That was an
How'd
award
you know about that?
She won, yeah.
I know most everything. I'm Gene Simmons. I actually have a pylon of myself. It's more of a purplish tone, but
Gene.
If you ever...
Not everything is about your penis.
I'm talking about a purple pylon, actually.
A purple pylon.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other clients, though? We would like to keep this to your business, if you don't mind.
Of course. What about our Kiss Taco Stand that we're opening up in Las Vegas?
A Kiss Taco Stand?
Yes. It's going to be called Kiss Taco. Speaking of tacos, Lisa.
No. No, Gene.
Quite hungry. For a clam flavored taco.
God.
Come on, Gene.
So disgusting.
Can you go 5 seconds without hitting on a girl?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about food.
Oh, food. Okay.
It's something you consume, a taco.
All right. So you have a taco stand. You have a coffee house.
What else?
Yes. We're also developing the Kiss line of luggage. I'm very excited about this.
Luggage?
High-end, top-of-the-line leather imported from Argentinian cattle.
Right.
And we're going to make attaché cases, backpacks, briefcases. Speaking of luggage, Lisa May, can I make a deposit in your flesh wallet?
Oh,
for
God's
sakes.
What's wrong with you, Gene?
I was just kidding.
Come on. You can't even say that with a straight face. Come on, Gene.
Flesh wallet.
Gene, are you there?
Finally.
Yes?
Because of the face.
I'm sorry?
Gene Simmons had a croup in his throat. I'm sorry. It's clear now.
No problem.
Because of the fanfare around Dick Cheney and, of course, the amazing hunting accident that went on a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
We felt we should jump on board. Kiss is always cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
We're making the Kiss birdshot ammunition.
Birdshot. So you're going to actually provide the shells for the shotguns.
That's right. Speaking of Dick Cheney, Lisa May.
speaking
of shots to the face.
Listen.
We
have to
go.
Stop
speaking
it.
Speaking of shots to the face.
Sure we got
Thank
it.
You.